Singing.
Good evening, boys. Good evening. Has good evening. Anybody seen Luke Shaw? Anyone? Oh. Anyone seen Luke Shaw?
Konnichiwa, Luke.
we jest, not only because they got smashed, but Luke is away.
Never guess where after what Bob said.
Never no. guess where. Thailand.
Spain.
How has your weekends been, guys?
Oh, wonderful.
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 Brilliant. Love
wonderful
it.
Weekend. Yeah. Wonderful. Do we want to jump straight into to the football then?
Oh, fucking football.
I love it.
Why are you saying that?
Best sport.
Oh, it's short-lived, isn't it? Fucking Burnley. I mean, come on.
Well, let's jump straight into it, Mitchell.
Let's Burnley jump away. Straight in. Do you know, right, so interesting statistic that I heard before it, because I didn't think this was true. We've won our last 7 early Saturday kickoffs.
Have you?
I didn't think we liked the early Saturday kickoffs. I thought we were a bit shit with him. We've won the last 7. Well, what the fuck?
Apparently you're pretty good at them.
Give me more.
Give you all the early Saturdays.
Yeah. Do you know, as well, I think I was going to, spoilers, I was going to go 2-0 for my prediction. But I put 2-1 because it was an early kickoff. I thought we'd go 1-0 down.
I mean, Sanchez tried to...
I was going to say about Sanchez as well. He obviously, where I've praised him the last couple of weeks, and especially for his distribution.
and then he belts one out, Fernandez.
Right on the back of Fernandez's head. Oh, dear, what was he thinking? Bless him. Outside of that, for pretty much the whole game, he didn't have much to do. I think
they maybe
2 shots.
They were better. They were the better team up until you scored the goal, but they didn't really do anything with it.
No,
they got the ball in some good areas, but
and the goal was nice. Pedro, little header from a Gittins cross, but they were arguing about it beforehand that they thought it might be handball from Cucurella. I don't know if you've seen it. I didn't think it was handball. I'm pretty sure the ball bounces up here, but it was like one of them where it bounces off the Burnley defender and it's so close to him. He couldn't have moved out of the way of it even if he wanted to.
So it does. I mean, it's one of those where if it does hit his arm or hand, that I believe the rule is if it hits your hand as part of the build-up, anyone's hand as part of the build-up, they should rule to go out.
Wasn't that the old rule, though? They made it a bit more flexible this season.
They may have done, but if it's not clear and obvious, you go with the on-field decision.
Yeah, I mean, the camera, the angles they showed, it was like, you know, from that view on, and the ball's coming like this, you couldn't... I think it was shoulder, unless they give us a better angle. People moan about it, but... I didn't think it was ample. And you still got to do the work after. Still, you know, Burnley should be defending. But it was great crossing, great header from Neto. Neto, throughout the whole game, both fast, but the whole game, he was on it. Absolutely.
He did
up
look
for
up
it.
For it, yeah.
Yeah. And so did Delap, although probably not.
Bit greedy at times. He wants the goal, doesn't he?
He really wants the goal. Yeah, and I don't mind that. You do want to see that.
You want your strikers like that.
Yeah, yeah. But there was one particular chance where I can't remember who it was on the left. He had Pedro on the right, I think, and then it might have been Gittins running in on the left. And it was either one of them was the better option. Yeah, but he dragged the shot wide, didn't he? Yeah, tried to spank it. But even with that, he's got a strong build.
He's physical.
He's like
Gyökeres, but probably not as he's not as experienced. Gyökeres is older. But he will learn.
We've got a very young squad club.
Didn't know that. first I ever heard it. But he likes the physical battle. And I think he will, with more games, he will get goals for Chelsea.
And that's what I think have been missing as far as the strike force is concerned, because we've got very creative players and fancy footwork players.
Players that don't fancy the cold.
Players that don't fancy the cold.
Stop my toe.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I couldn't believe that's real. I still don't think that's real. I fucking hell. I mean, we don't need him at the moment. Fucking hell. I can't remember the last time he played. But talking of physical strikers, and has Clive disappeared?
I was just thinking that, yeah. Has he disappeared?
It's got a bit jagged on me.
Oh, here he is.
Keep going. Here he is. Fucking hell. Yeah, talking of physical strikers, you know, you wait for one to come along and then you get two, because Gaye, or I think I've always said Gooey, but I think it's Gaye, he came on the second half.
Gooey.
Can't believe you can't pronounce the player's name.
I struggle with
fucking outrageous.
Yeah, you. Still got to get Esty right. Jesus Christ. And it's probably making Delap a little bit nervous, because to me, they're very similar strikers. They're both very strong. They both hold up. They hold off defenders very well, hold the play up very well, and they're both pretty good at getting round players. And maybe, unfortunately for Delap, in the second half, Gaye actually made something happen. He held up the defender, runs past him, pulls the ball back to, I think it was Enzo, who puts the ball away. And it was a lovely bit of play. It was exactly what you want from him. And I think he'd only been on the pitch about 10 minutes.
I mean, the thing that Delap's got going for him is he's still coming back from injury. Yeah. And you'd argue that Burnley are now pressing to try and equalise, so the space is going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. But I don't know. I was trying to figure out, like, obviously from like an English perspective, you want the lap, you want him to do well. It's a shame you can't do both.
Yeah, is he going to the World Cup at the moment?
Yeah.
Probably not.
We need the old 4-4-2 formations. Slap them both up there. Hasselbanker Johnson. Let's just see what they do. I'd love to see that again. The old school 4-4-2s. But yeah, you know, it's nice that we have a bit of competition for the up front spot. And I think even Resker's kind of, I can't remember where I read it now, but I'm pretty sure he's made his mind up and thought, okay, maybe I won't send you back to Sunderland. maybe we'll keep you here. And it is nice. It's nice to have that competition. And it's nice because even though we brought João Pedro in, he's doing pretty well in that number 10 role, or he can play on one of the wings.
It will be interesting when you get everyone back. It's going to be a bit like the Arsenal situation. Like when Palmer's back, does João Pedro drop straight to the bench?
Or go out on the left?
Yeah, who goes out wide? Because Cole Palmer has often played out wide as well. Yeah, it'd be interesting to
but
see
it's
what
not
you
a
do.
Problem to have.
No, it's a good problem to have.
And even like today, you know, if we had lost the game, people probably would have been shouting at him, but he rested Caicedo, our best player, without a doubt, best Chelsea player at the moment.
Santos played very well.
Yeah, but then, you know, like I said, Burnley, never really in it. Maybe, so you say, except for the opening 10 minutes.
But I'd say a bit longer than that. I'd say up until, when did you score your goal?
Oh, I can't remember. I've got it, yeah.
37th minute, yeah. So, I think Burnley were the better team up until that goal. Right? They had better possession in better areas, and they looked like a team that would do something, whereas Chelsea just didn't really seem at it.
I feel
yet.
Like we've started a lot of games like that this season, though. But we...
And you'll probably find it's the games you start like that and concede to the better oppositions that you don't win.
Well, this is again, kind of what I was alluding to before we went live. That's why I'm not getting carried away. That's why, even though we're sitting second and it was a great weekend, Wolves and Burnley, I mean, come on, you're expecting to win that. It's next weekend. That's the, you know, if we get something out of that.
That's the test.
It might be back on, but Wolves and Burnley, yeah, it's games you expect to win. And like you say, it's...
I feel a Madawaki hat trick from the bench.
Could you imagine? Would he celebrate?
Oh.
He fucking better not.
Yeah. No, he's a shithouse though, isn't he? He definitely would.
That'd be outrageous. We made it.
Exactly. That's where your shit house.
But as far as the Burnley game, I mean, it's how I would expect it to go. Nothing too out there. I'm happy with it. Second in the league, lovely.
Yeah, it's a great weekend for Chelsea.
Absolutely.
So obviously, I'm not going to ask you about the title race because. my feelings on it as well. I think you'd be too inconsistent throughout the course of the season. Top four's got to be guaranteed now.
I mean, guaranteed's a strong word. I'll do that. What you do, all right? It's looking like we may well do that, but I couldn't guarantee.
Just remember
it.
That for later, all right. Just remember that for later when ask me.
More inconsistent than Arsenal. You've had four years with this manager, growing this squad, 5 years. You should be fucking expecting. We're too inconsistent. I'm trying to look at our fucking next lot of fixtures. Obviously, Arsenal next. But then who have we got? Because we've had an all right run, is all I'd say. After Arsenal, we've got Leeds, which is Leeds-Chelsea.
Should win that, but that gets a bit feisty, that game, doesn't it?
Leeds, yeah. Ooh, and then it's Bournemouth. Dodgy.
Who need to turn it around a little bit after a disappointing result for
that's the thing, right? So, all right, you've got your Cities, your Liverpools, and your Arsenals, but I would be worried about more so the Bournemouths, but also the Leeds, because that's where we fucking drop silly points.
Yeah, the games you expect to win, that's where the inconsistencies will really come through.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing fills me with a little bit more confidence for next weekend is the Gabriel injury, which is why I thought Spurs would do better than they did. But they didn't.
Yeah. I don't know if you can. We'll come on to that. The one thing I will say is hopefully we'll have even more players back for the game against you. And our bench is starting to look strong again.
Bastards.
So, I think the first goal really killed the game from a Burnley sense. They still kind of pushed and tried to make things happen, but you could just see the lack of quality there really from a Burnley point of view, I think.
I was never, it was the same with the Wolves game, although obviously they were better. I never felt too worried, even with the spells. I never felt too worried about it. And this is the thing. This is where I would do against someone like a Bournemouth, where you are expected to get something out of it, but they're no pushovers.
They have got quality throughout the squad.
And that's
the quality team now. Quality team.
Well, that quality, they can't fucking beat you, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, can't beat relegation fodder. So.
Not anymore. We're back.
Here he is. Bob, do you want to say anything about Chelsea Burnley?
Fuck Chelsea.
It's good to have you
Thank
back.
Thank you.
Bob.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
Right, over to West Ham, Bournemouth. Bournemouth, West Ham.
Yeah. That was a game of two halves. That was.
literally
was, and literally is, and literally will be forever.
I don't know about that. The more and more American owners come in, we'll have quarters at some point.
Fucking hell. Like, the first half, Callum Wilson, first of all, was doing stuff that I have said they didn't do in the previous few games. So obviously someone's listening to the podcast. Cheers, thanks, Callum. Bring the ball down his chest. Oh, what a good couple of goals they were. Very good.
Both very good goals. I think the goalkeeper should have done better for the first one.
Yeah, he got his hand to it. It was a bit of a weak hand, wasn't it? Probably should have done a bit better. But we started this game with a back three. I think the previous few games we've been playing with a back five. And in the first half, it looked very good. It seemed like it matched the way that we wanted to play. We could be a bit more aggressive, I think.
And your fullbacks are pretty decent going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Wan-Bissaka and Diouf.
Yeah, yeah, they're both good at going forward, and both seem to have good link ups with Bowen and whoever else up front, whoever we bring on. So yeah, that seemed to set up quite well, and surprisingly for us, our centre halves were actually doing a really good job as well in the first half, which obviously really helps with us being able to be aggressive and that kind of thing. Obviously, Callum Wilson got a good couple of goals, all looking very good until the second half, which...
So Callum Wilson come off, is that an injury? Or
no, I think it's just...
Is that trying to protect him?
It's probably just trying to protect him. I don't think it is an injury, as far as I'm aware. But yeah, he got taken off for Souček, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like 50 seconds.
Yeah, and I think instantly from the second half, you can tell we were just sat far too deep. And you can tell from all of the stats and everything, we just literally... And I get it. Like, Nuno is that kind of manager, isn't he, really? But if you're going to...
Yeah, he's defend, sprint, counter-attack. Yeah,
but if you're not going to have the counter-attack bit and you're 2-0 up, oh, sorry, Clive. You look like you're talking, but you've broken up and now you've disappeared.
He's gone. He's fucking sick of listening to you, mate.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Same old shit every week, isn't it, Clive? Hang on, we'll wait and see what he says. Go on, Clive, what was you saying?
I was saying, like...
Oh, here he is.
You're kind of inviting the pressure on as soon as you make that Souček change. And you can't really counter-attack when... You've got no striker on the pitch, so you're just asking for it, really.
Exactly, yeah. And we just didn't seem to have a look in at all. And like, to be honest, big shout out to Areola, because if he wasn't on the pitch, well, I'm assuming if he wasn't on the pitch, we would have had another goalkeeper, but I'm not sure he would have done as well as Areola. Because, I mean, if it weren't for him, it could have been about fucking 14-2 or something. Like, the amount of chances that Bournemouth had in the second half was a joke. But yeah, a little bit disappointing. I think what Bournemouth did in the second half, though, they did very much overload us. And once they had that additional player in there, we just could not cope with it. In the first half, I think it was working very well for us because we could deal with whatever attacking threat they had and then push forward on the counter, which is fine. But if they're overloading us and we can't get... It's a bit like the Spurs-Arsenal match, like what Spurs were like first thing in this game. You guys were overloading them and they just couldn't get forward at all. And it was exactly the same with us in the second half against Bournemouth. Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, they're two goals. Obviously, the penalty, I mean, there's no doubt that was a penalty. I mean, probably should have been a sending off as well.
Very lucky not to be a sending off, right?
Very lucky. It was a great save, though, to be fair. Yeah, probably should have been sent off. We was a bit lucky there. And then the goal, like I say, I mean, to be honest, you can't really have too many arguments. It's a fucking wicked, higher-paced pass. And a lovely turn from him. But I think that's probably an example.
Such a great touch, wasn't it, that second goal?
It was.
Absolute worldie of a touch that just opens it up for him.
Yeah, it was quality. So you can't really have too many complaints, but I think I think that's probably just an example of what I'm talking about with being overloaded. I just don't think, because he was a substitute, I think he'd only been on for about fucking 5 or 10 minutes or something. But we just couldn't handle it. Like, We just didn't know what to do. But overall, I mean, going against Bournemouth away from home, 2-2 draw, asked me 3 games ago, I would have been fucking over the moon with it. But I mean,
but
probably
being 2-0 up at half time.
Yeah, that's the problem. But yeah, I mean, it's the second half was very disappointing, I'll be honest, because on a different day, if Areola wasn't there and we had another goalkeeper in goal, I feel like we lose that game probably 4-5-2 in the second half. So it is disappointing from our point of view. I don't think we should have let it slip that bad. I don't think we should have gone that defensive that early on.
Yeah, I think Nuno's got a bit of answering to do for that.
Yeah.
again, I fully feel like he will get you, but he's steadied the ship already. And I don't think you will be in the relegation battle come the end of the season.
Yeah.
But it is decisions like that that cost points. And I think he did cost points this week.
Yeah, I think especially against, like I could kind of understand it if it was against another team, but Bournemouth is so fucking good when you allow them to play. And it feels like that's what we let them do in the second half. And yeah, that was disappointing. But a point isn't disappointing, but our performance in the second half is. So
yeah, only coming away with a point when you were 2-0 up, and
they're not to be sniffed at, Bournemouth. Stats. I wish I'd seen the stats for the first half. But you ended the game. I mean, they had 8 shots on target, 21 shots in total. You had 24% possession.
Yeah,
that's crazy. If you look at stats alone, and then you say you got a point out of
Nuno's style. Sorry, Bob. Yeah. That is Nuno's style. Like, I think. You look at a game Forest won last season, I think they beat someone 7-0 and they had something like 24% of the ball. How can you win a game 7-0 and only have that amount of the ball? It's what Nuno does.
Yeah, and like that thing I'm not overly concerned about, because that is our game plan. We are going to sit back. But the problem is when you don't have the outlet, when you're defending that deep and you don't have any kind of outlet that relieves the pressure at least for a certain amount of time, or maybe gives us an opportunity for a goal as well. That's the problem.
What did he do? So, you know, you go 2-0 up, and all right, second half, you come out and he goes a bit defensive. Their penalty, did he change anything up after that? Or is he like, just that's it now? Ultra, ultra defensive, even more so.
I can't remember, is what I'm trying to say, whether Fulkrug came on before or after the penalty, to be honest with you. But I know that Fulkrug came on at some point.
After.
So, So he probably thought at that point, I need some kind of outlet for when we manage to get the ball forward at some point. Yeah. Because without Callum Wilson on the pitch, which he obviously done a good job, I think someone posted the chat in one of our group chats, Callum Wilson's stats, it was like zero everything other than two goals. So like he was obviously there for that reason. I think he probably brought Fulkrug on for that, but then obviously they scored again. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether we ran out of steam or we just went out with a very defensive mind and thought we're not going to take any risks anymore, which is annoying because you need a little bit of risk in there, don't you, if you're playing that kind of football. So,
you just invite so much on, and like at some point, good teams will punish you for doing that.
I don't want to keep banging on about it, but it is very much like how Spurs played against Arsenal today, except they played like it for the whole fucking game, pretty much. Like it was like they went out there to basically disrupt your attacks.
I don't even think they went out there to do that, if I'm honest. But
I don't know what they did. I'm not sure whether they were playing football or netball or what, but I'm not sure what they were doing, but it was similar to that in the second half. But yeah, overall, happy with a point. I'm happy getting... I said in the group chat, didn't I? We're at least going to get a point out of these next three games. Obviously, we've got, I think,
secured
Liverpool, Man United. And we've got the point now. So what's the old saying?
We're going to see
Bob
a happy
is never
Bob.
Wrong.
We're going to see a happy Bob for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. I've got a short of you waiting in the wings for a bad, bad weekend.
Okay.
But just to correct before Mike fact finds, Forest beat Brighton 7-0. They had 36% possession. So a little bit more than I gave them credit, but crazy. Right, so.
Yeah.
9 shots on target, 7 goals. Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah. I think we had 5 shots. So that's obviously where our problem is. Yeah,
3 okay. shots and you scored 2 of them.
Fine.
I mean, that's not bad.
But if you can get Callum Wilson playing, like, and you seem to be getting a tune out of him, you'll be okay. Like, he is a goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I know this is a weird thing to say, but I'd rather have, you know, 3 shots and score 2 of them rather than have 30 shots and not score any or score 1, you know?
Obviously, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, or 30 shots and score two of them as well. Because you've wasted so many other chances, right?
I suppose. I suppose you can think like that, yeah.
Yeah, I do think like that. Like, do you?
You look pretty happy about it. I'd like more goals from 30 shots, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at him sitting all smug and pretty now. Look, fucking hell. It's the four goals.
It's a bit sickening, isn't it?
It's fucking easy scoring goals, lads. What are you talking about?
No set plays, no set pieces either today.
I was waiting
for nosebleed. Nosebleed. anything to add, Mitchell?
Fuck this
thing. Any questions to ask?
No, 7 points out of the last three. That's got yourself right out of danger, haven't you?
Yeah.
Put some, what? 17th in the league, same points as Leeds at the moment, but obviously, well, Leeds have got 3 points next couple of games.
The problem, I will say, I am scared.
His head is in his hands now.
I'm scared. I know. I normally say that I feel confident. Maybe this will work out because apparently it's reverse fucking psychology. Because whenever I say that I feel confident or optimistic or positive or anything like that, West Ham go and fucking lose about 17-0 or whatever. So I feel a little bit scared by it because I just feel like that second half against Bournemouth was a little bit of the old, you know, lack of confidence kind of creeping back in, and it's scaring me a little bit. And especially when we've got Liverpool next. They need to bounce back, but at the same time, we're back, baby.
Yeah. So, you got a horrible run of fixtures coming up.
They got.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah. Liverpool, United, Brighton, Villa, City.
I mean, Brighton and Villa, I mean, second class teams. I mean,
Villa sitting fourth.
There's only one team that plays in Claret.
Brighton sitting sixth.
That's shit.
Both above Liverpool.
Yeah.
And United.
West Ham are back.
Massive.
Yeah.
I mean, you drew with 8th place. Fourth, only 4 places above them.
So, exactly. Yeah. So we're winning against Liverpool, right? That's the way it works.
Honestly, I'd rather you get a result against City now. I think Liverpool are done and dusted.
I'll see what I can do for you, Clive.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. I've got nothing to add other than I think you'll be safe now. I think Nuno's kind of figured out what he wants to do, and if you go 2-0 up against other teams in the Premier League, they're not going to have the quality that Bournemouth had to get them back into the game. I think you'll be alright. Unfortunately, I was enjoying the relegation zone West Ham.
It'll happen eventually.
Hopefully they sack him and get fucking Angin. That'd be good.
I really wouldn't fucking put it past him, to be honest. I really wouldn't.
That'd be on my Christmas list, I think. Well, Luke Shaw, where are you, mate?
I wish he was here as well.
So do I. He's timed his trip to perfection. Yeah. What do you say about Eze? Nah, shit. Didn't want him anyway. Oh. What did Thomas Frank going to say about him? Eze who? Yeah, he knows now, didn't he? He fucking knows now, didn't he? What a game, boys. I'd like to say Arsenal were absolutely amazing, but Tottenham were total garbage. Absolute offered nothing. Other than a good goal from Richarlison. I'm pretty sure it was him who did that in pre-season against Arsenal as well. So he's very aware that Raya sits way out of his box when we have possession. And we lost Zubimendi, was dilly-dallying on the ball a little bit too much. But we was comfortable at 3-0. They never looked like scoring unless we gave them it. Their long throws didn't work. Their time wasting didn't work. Yeah, I'm calling them out for it, Luke. I was thinking that the whole time.
I forgot that Luke was in Japan momentarily, and I thought, I can't wait for Luke to be on this podcast later and this conversation about time wasting to happen.
Yeah, but he was so big on it last season, but because Ange doesn't do it, yeah. All right, Tottenham.
And they just tried to stifle the crowd, didn't they? Make it boring and then maybe try and nick something, but...
I just, like, it was, they're not good enough for that. Like, I look at that team and I think the only player from the Tottenham team that would have got into the Arsenal's team today because Gabriel's injured is Mickey van de Ven. That's it. No other Tottenham player gets into that Arsenal team at all. It was, and that, the result showed that. They was crying out for an Eze.
I don't even think they're getting a West Ham team, to be honest.
Wow, look at him.
Like, you know. from the get, and maybe from a Tottenham point of view, the lack of English players, I think they started with Jed Spence and that was it. Their players just didn't seem up for it either. Like, our players did. Saka, although he didn't score or get an assist today, he was superb. Like, he was causing problems every single time we got the ball. Timber was different class again. That right side was just quality. I'm surprised that Spence didn't play out there and Ndougi or whatever his name is did, because Spence has been good against Saka. Well, no, he hasn't. No, he's not played against them yet. But Trossard on the left caused Spence all kinds of problems. And that's maybe because Kudos doesn't do the tracking back as much.
Shit player.
But they literally had nothing. They didn't.
No.
There was at no point I was worried about that game. Other than when I looked at the lineups, and obviously we're missing Jokeres and a couple of other key players, I was like,
This is the thing. I thought, well, Gabriel being the big one, you think, oh, mate, you got to go for this now. Put them under pressure. Nothing. It was, Spurs were boring.
Toothless. They were,
yeah.
As a neutral watching it, I don't care Arsenal score fucking four goals. That doesn't make it an exciting game for me. I was thinking, even if someone won it 3-2, close, tight-knit game. Oh, Spurs, you were awful. You're playing your biggest rival. Where was you?
The only player that had a bit of nastiness about him is Richarlison. And that's not because it's a derby. That's because that's the player he is. For me, they just didn't want it. There was no hunger there for any of their players. They just let us do what we wanted. I don't know what they were trying to do. I literally sat there thinking, if we're on it today, we'll take them apart. And that's exactly what happened. Like, the first goal.
Was it two goals? Two shots that Spurs had all game? I think it was, wasn't
two
it?
Two shots on target, obviously the goal, and then
three in total.
Straight into David Raya's arms.
Against your rivals, man.
Yeah, but even that, like, so Neville said something in commentary saying, like, I think it was like the 40th, no, maybe just starting the second half, Spurs hadn't had a shot at all in the first half, and that's not acceptable. I'm thinking, but we've stopped so many teams this season from having shots on target. Like, the Arsenal defensive unit is the best in the league. So I don't think that's unacceptable to not go into challenges, to not have that hunger or desire to try and win the ball. I'd say that's not acceptable. Like, if I was a Tottenham fan, I'd be, who's stepping up? Who's, like, Romero didn't even make, like, you'd expect Romero to make a horrible tackle at some point. Like, you'd expect one of them to try and go through Saka, like, just to get their crowd up. But there was nothing.
Yeah, that's the most disappointing thing about it. There was nothing. You could see. I mean, obviously, Arsenal, outside of the rivalry, are gunning for the league. Mm-hmm. There's other things at play. But fucking hell, your biggest rival, and the hatred with it as well, they were never there. There was nothing. It was, I was sitting down, I was thinking, yeah, this is going to be fucking great. And it was like, time wasted by the
20th
minute.
It was fucking great. And it was so nice. Like, obviously, the stat about not having a hat-trick in the game since 1978 or whenever it was. That man Eze with it as well.
Of course it was.
Just about to sign for Tottenham in the summer. Thought better of it. You know it. You know it, didn't you? It had to be him.
I did think... I think you were 3-0 up when Richarlison scored.
Yeah. And they had a little spell after that, didn't they?
But a very small spell, because the crowd went silent. And even I was thinking, yeah, but Spurs have not been in this. Why are you worried? 3-1, all right.
It's a derby, isn't it? Like that just does put a little bit of all.
But they didn't make the most of it, Spurs.
No, they didn't.
Silenced it and nothing.
They didn't test the unknown defender. They didn't really get at him at all. It was like I could talk about Arsenal on the attack, like the first goal, Marino dropping a bit deeper, which I'm not a big fan of, and against better opposition, that creates a problem with us not being able to get other players forward. But Trossard just being able to walk into the box and then bring it down. Like, why is no one tight with him? Why is he being allowed to? Like, there's a bit of fortune in the first two goals with little deflections for sure. But you've given us so much time. Yeah. And like Eze's goal, were Arsenal players offside? Were they impeding? Like, as you said in the chat, Bob, like they're too far out. Like they're not having an impact on the goalkeeper there.
I can't believe he even mentioned that at half time. And it's only because he's a fucking, like, he loves Spurs, isn't he? Liz Ferdinand.
He's a player.
Who gives a fuck? If they looked at it, because the thing is, he's bringing it up as if, like, oh, I can't believe they didn't even look at it. And then it's like, well, how about you tell us what you think the outcome would be if they did look at it? Because we all know they would give it as a goal still. So why even fucking mention it, stupid fucking Spurs fans? Honestly, hang on.
But like, I think it's quite the only reason why you mention it is because it's quite prevalent in a couple of games this season. Like, obviously Chelsea with Liverpool, and then Liverpool with Forest this weekend. But yeah, then his second goal is a second goal. What a finish! And the third goal, what a finish as well. And you can see at 3-0, the Arsenal players were trying to set him up for his hat-trick. There's a couple of balls that Saka could have probably taken a little go of, but he wanted to cut it back to Eze. And that's a nice thing that they've got that confidence to go, let's get this boy a hat-trick. Like, when was the last time a boyhood fan got a hat-trick for Arsenal? Like, I couldn't tell you.
He could have had a fall straight after.
Yeah, he could have. He should have. And he was so annoyed with himself that he didn't as well.
Which is what you want to see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
From an Eze point of view as well, he's got Martin Odegaard coming back soon. And that's a headache for Arteta. Like, you've got a number 10 that has just scored a hat trick. And Martin Odegaard, who is amazing, and I love what he does for Arsenal, but doesn't get the goals that he should. Doesn't shoot. Eze will shoot. Right. So it's a good problem to have, but it's going to be a problem. Like, how does Odegaard get back into the team?
I wish Luke was here, because I want his perspective on it. Because I mean, is it Thomas Frank before the game? You know, is he like hyping everyone up, going, you know, fucking let's go for this, or is he like kill the crowd? Play slow.
But even that, safe. Like, you can do that with hyping your players up as well. Like, you can get a tune. Like, I remember the Arsenal all or nothing, where like Mikel Arteta brings in the cameraman, like Stuart, I think his name is Stuart McFarlane, and it's for the North London Derby, and he says, like, he gets the cameraman to speak about his love for Arsenal, how he's growing up with the fixture, how it's the most important fixture to him. And that gets the players G'd up for it. And we go
in the episode where he talks about the light bulb.
It could well be. Like, he's got some crazy so ass theories, but they work. Like, it's something that he's a bit out there as Arteta, but we love him. Like, I love him for it. Like, playing You'll Never Walk Alone to training sessions to try and get the atmosphere, to try and just, why not? Like, we've not won at Anfield in so long. You've got to try something a bit out of the box.
From a management point of view, I love it. I love all this. Like, and I don't want to fucking blow smoke up Arsenal's ass, because I don't want to. But from a management point of view, I just think that's fucking brilliant. Like, why not, like, do stuff that's a bit fucking weird and out there or whatever, because it's clearly fucking working. And he's clearly learned it from somewhere as well, because Pep is probably doing the same fucking shit.
Yeah, Pep's probably doing some crazy shit. And, and that's the thing, is like, you'd only have a problem if we were really struggling. Then you'd go, this guy's fucking nutcase, get him out.
Yeah, yeah. What's he fucking talking about light bulbs for? Fuck off, mate.
But hey, like, hopefully we win the Premier League. Hopefully people start saying
that he's... Lose,
hopefully people start saying he's an elite manager or an elite coach, because he makes players better. He's made the whole team better. And he should start to get some of the credit he deserves. Like, I'm not saying...
constitute an elite coach? One Premier League title?
Like, I'm not saying he's in the same category as... Well, they say... Brendan Rodgers is an elite manager, like, because he's won the league in Scotland. Fuck off. Generally. I'm not saying he's level pegging to Klopp or to Pep, but maybe, like, if he wins the league this season, why isn't he in the same category as Klopp? Klopp only won one Premier League title. So, you know, it'd be an interesting discussion. That's coming as well, boys. That's coming as well.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that discussion.
We're gonna batter Bayern Munich this week, and it's onwards and upwards.
Oh yeah, they'll you're going full confidence. They'll do you, and then you go into the weekend deflated. We'll fucking do you.
And Harry Kane gets a hat trick against you.
Yeah. And Luke, what was you saying about hat tricks?
I think we'll be all right. Somehow. It was like, again, from an Arsenal perspective, Rice was quite, like, there's not a bad performance today on that pitch at all. Over the moon. Let's go.
Spurs.
6 points clear now.
Got our title
rivals next, away from home. Let's go.
Nice, bring it on. Nice to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, you are at the moment. Like,
only because of Burnley and Wolves, and then City and whoever it was losing.
Liverpool, City.
Yeah, but fucking well out of it. Sunderland losing. Fucking hell.
Yes, it's everyone's to lose. You're right, Bob. Chelsea's to lose.
In which case, we've won because we've already lost.
If Chelsea do beat Arsenal, they're only 3 points behind.
Yep.
And as we see with Liverpool, like, they were 5 points clear, all smelling of roses. It doesn't take much to change it.
Okay, Clive, but for example, you beat Chelsea this weekend, mm-hmm. City get beat by Leeds.
I don't see that happening, but sure.
You're 9 points in front at that point. That's right, isn't it? Chelsea are 6 points behind two currently.
If they both lose, yeah. If they both lose.
Can you then please say to me, it's yours to lose? No. Just say it. Even if you know, like in Love Actually, where they hold up the cards, you could just do it like that.
If we get to a point in the season where there's four games left and we're 9 points clear at that point, I will say it's ours to lose.
Oh, and I'd love it if you end up losing it.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah.
Luke could call us bottlers at that point. Yeah. I'd happily take that at that point. I'd take it.
What? Your last game is against Spurs.
Spurs, yeah.
Why can't you just say it now? Just for the content, Clive. This is your podcast.
It's our podcast.
No, it's not.
No, I'm not going to say
London is sponsored by Clive.
I'm not going to say it, Bob. It's good.
We're in a good position. West Ham in the last four.
They're a bit of a bogey team from time to time against us. I think we're away though, aren't we? We like to play them away. They like to play us at home.
We could be up there in the title running by that time. You never know.
Anything's possible.
You never know.
It's yours to lose. Yeah. Idiot. Anyone else? I mean, we should give the Tottenham's perspective, shouldn't we? But how can we?
There wasn't one.
Richarlison scored goal of the season. That Richarlison. What a goal. There you go. Covered.
Still the best defence, even though we conceded fucking 10 million goals in the past fucking 30 games.
To a team with no striker. Good one, Tottenham. Good one.
My letdowns.
And Medawacking's back as well. Come on. He looked good. He looked sharp. Looked like he wanted to beat players left, right, and centre. Onwards and upwards. Oh, we can't go any further upwards.
Oh, here he is.
Right. Just... Bob, any last words on Arsenal?
No, thanks.
Mitchell?
Arsenal's to lose, isn't it?
Yep.
According to all the neutrals, yeah. Right. Man versus AI. Mitchell, please. Man versus AI. Beep, boop, boop, beep. Wonderful.
Hasty.
So, a quick rundown of our predictions. AI predicted a 2-1 Chelsea win, got 1 point. AI predicted a 2-1 West Ham win, got 0 points. AI predicted a Arsenal 2, Tottenham 1 result. I don't know why I said it differently. Got 1 point for a total of 2 points this week. Bob, we'll come to you last. Mitchell predicted a 2-1 win. Got 1 point. Luke. Predicted a 2-1 Tottenham win. Got 0 points. Clive predicted a 2-0 Arsenal win. Got 1 point. Bob predicted Bournemouth 2. West Ham 2. And he's a mighty 3 points. So currently the humans are on 33 points. AI is on 25. We are smashing it like Arsenal. At the moment, Mitchell sits top of the league with 11 points. Clive is still in second with 9 points. Bob is in third with 7 points. Luke is rightfully in his place.
Yeah, back where he
belongs. Finally.
What a time to be alive. We've not got Luke's prediction for Tottenham Fulham yet. We'll get that during the week. Mitchell, we play second. So, Bob, West Ham at home to Liverpool. What are you saying?
I'm going to get criticised for this, but we don't do well against Liverpool. And I know they've not been playing well, but we're not. Well, because I will. Because the likes of like Mitchell or someone will say, oh, but they've just lost their previous fucking 4 games, whatever. But we just don't do well. So I'm going to go 3-1 Liverpool because they're going to bounce back.
Liverpool just lost their last 4 games.
See? I was right.
So what are you predicting?
I just said 3-1 West Ham. 3-1 Liverpool.
3-1 West Ham. You heard it here first.
3-1 West Ham. Okay, I've got that.
You weren't listening to me, Clive. Was you too
at all? Sorry, I was getting AI up so I could do that. So Arsenal play Chelsea away from home. So Mitchell, you get to go first. What are you saying?
I'll be honest with you, Clive. I was going to go in with full confidence, but as you do, tabs are open. I had a little look at the past fixtures. Wow,
it's not been good for Chelsea.
The turn of this decade, we have got an abysmal form against Arsenal.
It's when Arteta went in charge, I think.
Is it all since Arteta? Right, so since 2020, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 games, all but one from the Premier League. We've beaten you once. Wow.
It's this year then, isn't it? Like,
we've lost the last 7 against you. No. We haven't won the last 7.
Yeah, we drew 1-1 at Stamford Bridge last season, I think.
Oh. I was feeling a 2-1, but I might go 1-1. Oh, it's going to be the real test, isn't it? Oh, fucking hell. 1-0, 1-0.
1-0. Confidence is high with Clive. 3-1 Arsenal win.
Oh, you dirty bastard.
Oh, do I go 1? Do I think Chelsea will score?
Oh, it's fucking outrageous.
I mean, to be honest, have they played anyone Arsenal with a good defence recently? Yeah, well done, Clive.
I'm going 3-0 Arsenal. Fuck it.
Fucking outrageous.
Luke's not here to do Fulham. I mean, he's going to go for a home win.
4-1 Spurs.
Thank you. Talk amongst yourself whilst I get AI to generate some.
I'm not falling into this trap again, Clive. He's already got it, hasn't he?
I've got predictions, yeah. Right.
Oh, Clive, let me say something, right?
Go on.
So you said 3-0.
Yep.
No, I'm not jinxing it. I'm not jinxing it. Fuck off, no.
Madawaki hat trick. Come on.
No.
Come on, Madawaki.
Fuck that.
Right, Chelsea v Arsenal. Chelsea 1, Arsenal 2 is AI's prediction. God, we're covering all the bases here, aren't we? We're not, because no one's got a Chelsea win.
Yep.
It has predicted 2-0 Tottenham against Fulham. And then it has predicted, drum roll please, for West Ham Liverpool. It sniffs the fact that Bob got 3 points this week and it's gone 3-1 Liverpool win.
Is it fucking else? Well, at least I won't be disappointed if we end up winning. Not that I would be anyway, because it's just bad.
Yeah. We won!
God damn it.
Game's gone.
Right. On that note, any final words? Bob?
I like you.
I love you.
I love you too.
Mitchell, any final words?
I don't like either of you.
That's fine.
Feelings mutual.
You. Yeah. You're only here because you're a Chelsea fan. Right. The only one we know.
That's painful because it's so fucking true.
My final words is London is red. Let's go, boys.
Blue.